I want to say thanks to Malcolm and Sandy for looking after me so well, and it was nice to have dinner with some of the girls last night. So I've enjoyed our my stay this weekend, and we were here a couple of weeks ago. That was fun. We were here for a week, so I feel like I'm part of the family. It hasn't taken long to settle in and get comfortable, does it? So no, I've loved being here. So I should be more organised than this. Here we go. Well, John sends his love. He is in Minnesota. I get Minnesota and Minneapolis confused, but I'm pretty sure he's in Minnesota. He's been there for a week. He gets back next Tuesday. And so he's over there at an ACCI, Australian Christian Churches International, or he's representing Australian Christian Churches International at a global AOG summit for all the missions leaders from all over the world. There's 170 leaders there. And so they're getting together to see how they can win people all over the world to Jesus. So it's a great thing that he's a part of, it's a great connection. And all the AOG leaders, we didn't realise there were so many people involved in missions all over the world, but we are part of a very big family of Jesus. And even in next week, gathering together with church leaders. Family of God is incredible, and I'm just blown away. I'm blown away about, Malcolm said that the Father loves us, and he loves us so much. I remember as a young mum with our kids, and I remember standing in our bathroom thinking, if this is the love I have for my child, this is a snippet of the love he has for me and he has for you. It's you just can't comprehend it, how much he loves us. And so anyway, I've just got a bit sidetracked. So anyway, John is in America, and yes, he'll be home on Tuesday. So we do a lot of travel at the moment. But many years ago, 40 years ago, we got married, and we really didn't know what our lives would look like all these years down the track. 40 years is a long time, isn't it? You guys can't even imagine turning 40, let alone being married for 40 years. Now, someone got engaged the last time I was here. Can you imagine? Are you in the room, you guys? Yes. Can you imagine being married for 40 years? It's incredible. And I tell you what, it goes like that. And all of a sudden, I'm the grandma. It just happens like that. But anyway, yes, we got married 40 years ago on the 9th of April, just last month. And so when we got married, for our honeymoon, we went to Fiji, which is what everyone did back in the 80s. Everyone went to Fiji. I don't know, there's a flavour of the month with everything, isn't there? So we went to Fiji, and can I have that first photo up, please? There we are on our honeymoon. No sunglasses, no hats, no nothing, no sunscreen. Actually, what was that? Permed hair. And you can see in the background, a cyclone had actually just gone through that hotel just a few weeks before, so half the hotel was closed. We're actually planting a little palm tree. We planted that palm tree. We'd only been married a few days, and we put our names in the ground with that palm tree. I don't know why we did it, but we just did it. that palm tree, is still there today. So we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, and so we thought, why don't we go back to Fiji? We haven't been there for 40 years. So anyway, John gets on his Qantas app and he finds a deal. So that was we planted that tree at the Fijian Hotel, and he finds this deal on Qantas at the Shangri-La Hotel. So I went, oh, that sounds pretty good. So we went to Fiji, and this taxi driver picked us up. And so it's an hour's drive from the, or around about an hour's drive from the airport to the hotel. So he talked all the way, which was great. And he said, oh, the Shangri-La used to be called the Fijian Hotel. I thought, no way, we are going back to the same hotel. Isn't that incredible? So that photo, we only have three photos from our honeymoon. We have that one of me on the beach, where I'm squinting, and then another one when we arrived back from our honeymoon at the airport. The rest of the photos, back in the day when you put film in a camera, was exposed. So we lost all of the photos. But I went through and found that photo. And so, Anyway, we went back, and can you show the next photo, please? There we are 40 years later, and we stayed in a room. Now, this hotel is massive. So we stayed in a room virtually looking at that tree. I cannot believe it. And so you can imagine then all the, you know, I think back and reflect on all sorts of things of this tree over those 40 years, what that's been through. And 40 years, you know, that when we planted that, when we'd only been married a few days, we had no idea what our future would look like. We had no idea what our family would look like, you know, what we would be doing. I couldn't even imagine being married for 40 years. Only old people are married 40 years. I don't see myself as old. Anyway, can we have a look at the next tree, please, or the next photo? Look at that tree today. Look how strong it is. Do you know the palm trees? Now, that has been through many tropical cyclones over the years. The palm tree has feather-like leaves so that it doesn't get top-heavy in the storms. They just sort of, you know, a palm tree will bend, but it doesn't succumb to the storm. And it has many roots that go out, like multiple roots that go out into the soil to hold it steady. And its base is quite strong. It's quite incredible. And so you don't often see, palm trees all splattered all over the place, but they bend. If you ever watch the news or watch a cyclone, they bend, don't they? When you think of the palm trees, I think of, you know, tropical islands and sunshine, but that's not always the case. And so, you know, this morning I want to talk about how to live life steady and strong in the harsh realities of this world. It's interesting how over those 40 years, well, when you first start out, you have no idea. You have no idea what's ahead. And I just look at this world today, and people that are surviving without Jesus is just unbelievable. And so I've looked at 1 Corinthians, and I just want to share with you some things I've learned. And just reading 1 Corinthians, I've just found so many gems from this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. So many gems to hang on to, and I want to share them with you today, because our Father wants us to be steady and strong despite what goes on in our world. And young people, if you can get this now, just hang on to it with all you can, because, you know, He wants you to be steady and strong. He wants you to have a successful life. For my kids, I want them to be strong, independent women that live their life. No matter what happens, they know who they are, and they know whose they are. They know who is walking with them and that He will never fail them. And so let's have a look at this this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And the reason he wrote this letter was his concern that the church was being affected and influenced by the things that were going on in the city. It was affecting how they lived their lives, and it was affecting their faith. And Paul's heart for the church was that they become mature and that they be overcomers. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 1:8, and it says, "He will keep you steady and strong to the very end, making your character mature so that you will be found innocent on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to be a steady and strong person, don't you? Despite what happens, I want to have a firm foundation. So how can I be that steady and strong person? We go through into chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians 1-5, and it says, "Remember our history, friends, and be warned. All our ancestors were led by the providential cloud." He's talking about the Israelites when they left the slavery in Egypt. They left the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours, as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. But just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. Most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert, and God was not pleased. So we become steady and strong, firstly, when I remember past victories. The Israelites brought consequences on themselves in the wilderness because they gave into temptations when things got hard. When things got tough, they seemed to forget the incredible miracle of God parting the Red Sea. They forgot the incredible, not only that miracle, so many miracles along the way they tended to forget. But can you imagine, you know, it's easy to judge the Israelites, isn't it? But then can you imagine just wandering around in the desert for a few days? But the difference is they saw the miracle, you know, and you could see the miracle hand of God, you know, when you're wandering around. But these people saw it, but and yet they forgot. I've learnt that when I've been in the wilderness to remember past victories. Those miracles remind you of the faithfulness of God. We need to look back to move forward sometimes. We need to look back at when God did that in my life. And it's a reminder that today, now, that whatever is going on, I know that He's faithful. He's done it before and He will do it again. We need to be patient. The Israelites were not patient. They were impatient. And so they often took matters into their own hands. We need to stay close to Him. Remember, He is a miracle working God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. His power is the same. The power to create the heavens and the earth, to create mankind, has not changed. He is the same. We just need to stay close to Him. I wonder what your God story is. I wonder what miracles God has done in your life in days gone by. You know, can I just encourage you, don't keep them to yourself, but share them. Tell people. If you have children, tell your children so that they understand who God is. God is real. He's a miracle-working God. There is power in the name of Jesus. You know, when I was a baby, you know, young, my mother had epilepsy. And she was prayed for and she was healed. And I heard that story. I never saw her with epilepsy. My brother did. He had to ring whoever whenever it happened. But, you know, I heard that story, and different stories over the years helped me understand as a child that my parents worship a miracle-working God, and that will bring me to a place of coming to know that miracle-working God. Share those stories. People love to hear these stories, even in the workplace, you know. They love to hear it, what God has done in your life. Now, they won't be open to, you know, Bible bashing, but they're open to your story. Tell your story, share it. You know, when you share your story, it not only excites others, it excites you and reminds you. There are so many things that God has done for us in our marriage, in our ministry, in our kids' lives. There are too many to share, but you just stay on the road. You stay on the road. You don't get tempted to fall away. You stay faithful to God. Because we do come through the other side. We just need to be patient. You know, a plant needs a support sometimes, doesn't it? God is our support at times when we're, you know, we're bent over in the cyclone. God is there. He's with us. He's walking with us side by side. So stay close to Jesus. Even in the tough times, do not give up. Stay close to Him. The second thing I see in 1 Corinthians, to stay steady and strong, is we need to be grateful. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "The Master, Jesus, on the night of His betrayal, took bread and He gave thanks." You know, I think if Jesus gave thanks in a time when He was about to, you know, suffer an agonizing death, He could still give thanks. Sometimes we need to be thankful. And, you know, not even in the tough times, every day. Every day, in the good or the bad or the ugly, whatever day, find something to be thankful for. You know, God, Jesus knew that He had to go through the pain for the salvation of mankind. He knew there was something on the other side, but He had to go through that. The fact is, we need to be grateful. He gave thanks despite what He was about to go through. Every day, get up and be grateful. You know, gratitude, it improves our physical health. These are some practical things. Our psychological health. Gratitude reduces aggression, it helps us sleep better, and increases our mental health. Now, if you're a bad sleeper, hey, go to bed and be grateful. Get all the worry out and just say, thank you, God, thank you for my husband, even though, you know, whatever happened today, I thank you, Lord. I'm starting to miss my husband. I've been on my own for a week. I think, oh, I'll be glad when he comes back. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for, you know, the people in our church. I'm thankful for this church. I thank you, God, that you went to that cross so that I can be saved, that I can know salvation, that I know that I'm loved. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, for the country I live in. You know, I love to go out and walk of a morning to see the sun come up. I love the sunset, so I've got my phone is full. And, you know, I've got no room left of silly sun photos. Now, my husband thinks they're silly sun. I just think, wow. You know, I'm amazed. That is God's creation. I am thankful, Jesus. And in the tough times, find something to be thankful for. Notice something, because that will keep you. That will keep you from succumbing to the fall. Or that is one way. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, for my job. I'm thank you for my church. I'm just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. Make a list. Thankfulness changes our demeanor. The third thing I see in 1 Corinthians, we stay steady and strong when we remember eternity. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." He is coming again. You know, this isn't history. He is coming again. This verse tells us he is coming again. The Israelites journeyed in the wilderness, forgetting they were being led to the promised land, and many of them died without ever getting there. We are passing through this life, but sometimes we think this is it and we just stop here. But do you know what? There is more. There is more. And we're journeying through this life. This is not it. And I just, you know, if all you think is that this life is it, it's pretty depressing, really. But the fact is, there is hope. Jesus is coming again. And that changes how we live. That changes how we relate to people. That changes how we see people. Eternity is happening, people. We need to live in such a way that we remember eternity. Remember that there is a home outside of this home. There is a home with no tears, no sickness, no anger. There is a perfect home that we are heading towards. We are journeying through. And as we live this way, it's not only for us, but it's for those around about us. Help us to reach out and love others so that they can know that eternity is coming as well. Number four, I become steady and strong when I remember who God is. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12 says, "And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be naive and self-confident. You're not exempt." Now he's talking to the Corinthian church about the Israelites. So they messed it up, but so can we. "You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence." Where does our confidence lie? You know, at dinner last night with Lydia and Leah and Ange and Sandy, I think Lydia asked the question, you know, where did your ministry start? And so we'd been married 2 years and we're living quite a happy life, you know. I grew up in a minister's home, so I always lived in Mance's, and so we'd actually bought our own home. We got married, and then one weekend, we both get full-time jobs in Ipswich, the whole story of that, and we bought a house. Like, all that happened in, like, 1 or 2 days. And I just saw the hand of God on that, and so that was great. I was living my best life. You know, I'd never lived in a home that our family owned. The home was always owned by the church, and we either lived next door or somewhere. But now I had my own home, and it only had a little bit of brick on the front, but there was brick. Like, that was incredible. There was brick. Every weed, my grass was perfectly green, perfectly, the edges were perfectly cut, and I would get down with a knife and pull every weed out of the garden. There was no marks on the wall. It was perfection. Anyway, it became an idol, actually, an idol. So God thought he would just do a number on me and mess me up. And so I get a phone call from John. He was at work and I'd come home from work. And so I always got home before he did. And he rings me and he said, so this pastor, a pastor from Port Lincoln, he was only in our church. He only passed our church for 12 months. And I wonder if this is why God put him there. He rang John. He said, I'd like you to be you and Francine to be house parents of our girls' shelter. Now, our church opened a shelter for homeless girls in 1982. It's still running today. We have emergency accommodation and also now we have long-term accommodation for girls that can actually live on their own, go to school or whatever. anyway, back then it was just a house two doors down from the church. So you can imagine what that did to me. I always grew up in the house next door to the church. And so now I'm being transported back there. My worst nightmare. Anyway, so John thought, yes, we're going to do this. And I said, no, we are not. We are not going to do this. And I thought I had left the ministry, you know, as the child of the pastor, and I no longer had to be responsible for anyone. Because, you know, as a pastor's kid, even though your parents pastor the church, there is still an expectation on you. Anyway, that's a whole other story. And so I had escaped that, I thought. I'd gotten married and I'm living my own life. Anyway, so this happened. And so it took me weeks of crying and, you know, I don't want to do this. I want this life. I like this life. I want to be selfish. I don't want to think of anyone else. So I've lived my whole life thinking of everybody else. Anyway, one Saturday, it was weighing so heavily on me, and I remember praying. I said, God, please show me. And he showed me the verse where he says to Peter, where Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you. And then he says, feed my sheep. He asked the question three times, feed my sheep. And it was like a confirmation and a peace fell over me. And it was like, you know, God had to take this idol, this thing that I had found my confidence in, this thing that's not perfect, that, you know, is ever, always going to have to be fixed over time, as we know when we own houses. It was brand new, so it was quite easy to look after. But God had to shake me up and take me and my confidence in things and put my confidence in Him. And so we went into that home, and that was an interesting 12 months. We lived there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But it was, you know, I'd never worked with street kids. And so living with them was quite interesting. We had some interesting situations come up. We had one of the girls burnt one of the main department store down in Ipswich, never recovered. The town died after that, so she went to jail for that. We had all sorts of things happen, but God spoke to me and I put my confidence in Him, He gave me a passion and a desire to love those girls. You know, we were only 23. Those girls weren't that much younger than us. Actually, I remember praying with this woman, the hospital had sent her to us. She was in a domestic violence situation. She was 30-something, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. You know, I'm praying for her. I don't know why I prayed, because I didn't know what else to do. She's not a Christian. But, yeah, so we were put in that situation, and, you know, I just felt that God wanted me to show these girls what a family looks like. And so as I trusted Him, you know, we would have dinner around the table. We had a big table. We would do devotions back in the day. That's a long time ago. I don't know whether you could do that now. But and the girls, some of the girls that would first come to the house, you know, they thought we were a bunch of weirdos. But then it became important. And the girls that had been there a long time, they were the rules. And they made sure everybody followed what was part of what we did. So those girls felt loved. And now, all those years later, you know, we have staff. They are church women that work in that home, and there have been thousands and thousands of girls through Hannah's house. And so we moved out, but John still oversaw that, and I did some shifts here and there because then I started having children. But you know, I just think what a powerful thing. I would never have imagined what God did in my life, and I don't know what seeds I sowed, but I had to take my confidence off what I wanted and on this thing. And sometimes we put our confidence in people. We put our confidence in our studies, in things. And you know what? None of those things are perfect. You know, when you get an assignment and you might get a high distinction. So you know what? The next assignment we do, we put pressure on ourselves to match that again and match it again. And then, you know, we lose confidence because sometimes it doesn't happen. And I just think the only thing that we can put our confidence in is the one who is perfect. Jesus is perfect. God is perfect. He is our perfect Father. And He has put in our hearts a desire to want to connect with perfection. but it's him who is perfect. And we get confused and we try to be perfect in other ways or put our self-confidence in these things. And when they don't live up to the perfection, that is devastating. But the fact is, nothing or no one is perfect outside of God. So what was that point? That was, remember who is God. Nobody or nothing can be God except God. The next one, I remain steady and strong when I remember to be me. 1 Corinthians 10, 19, 22 says, I don't want you to become part of something that reduces you to less than yourself. He raises us up to be who he has created us to be. We reduce ourselves when we strive to be anything else in order to be accepted. We see the flaws in our own life, but you know what? Jesus has placed gifts and talents specifically and uniquely for you, and we cannot live in a way looking at other people wishing we were this or wanting to be that or trying to be that. We need to settle in who we are. As we put our confidence in him, he raises us up to be who he has created us to be, and we will be the best us we can possibly be. Be authentic. Be yourself. You know, as a believer, when we can just be ourselves and love Jesus, people notice. And people want to know, what is it about you? We're not being this hypocritical Christian. We're not trying to do anything apart from who we are. We're just being natural. And when we can be natural, people will look at that and want to know. That will influence people more than you would ever, ever know. Number six, we live steady and strong. Okay, this is one I threw in, and it's not in Corinthians. It's just one I threw in because this is something I've learned along the way. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart does good like a medicine. You know, there are, in the medical field, I've heard that laughter can actually help with heart issues. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it's not going to, but it's helpful. It helps with pain. It helps, you know, with anxiety, depression. It can help. Obviously, there's many other things that they do, but laughter is such a good thing. And so remember to laugh. I realised one day in our home, when I laugh, everybody else laughs. When I'm cranky, everybody else is walking on eggshells. So remember to laugh. Have fun. You know, just do something to lighten the load. We live in a world, you know, you watch the news and someone's doing this wrong and that wrong and we're investigating this person and that person. Nobody can do a thing right, honestly, and I know there are some bad things that happen, but, you know, I just think, oh, boy. What I love to watch the news one day where I actually see a good news story. For a while there, they were sticking a good news story on the end because the rest of the news was so bad and so depressing. And I just think, you know, let's just have some fun. Lighten up. Don't take things so serious. And we become, you know, because of all the, you know, insurances and everything, a lot of the fun has been taken out of this world. But just create your own fun. Create great memories. Create fun with your family, with your friends, with your schoolmates. But just see the funny side of things. It will actually, it will lighten the load. It will make you stronger. Because over times when we start to carry all this seriousness, it actually weighs us down. So, yeah, have a laugh. That was just my little bit. Number seven, the last one. I become steady and strong when I remember who lives in me. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you realize that together you have become God's inner sanctuary and that the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in you? He's right. He's in your heart right now. He's with you right now. He's with you wherever you go. We need to make room for him. We need to speak in tongues, to sing, to put Christian music on our, you know, on our radio, put music in our home, pray every day. You know, if you're faced with some major decisions right now, don't make a decision without talking to him. He's here. He's with you. Talk to him. You know, just talk to him. Don't do anything without consulting our Saviour. Be obedient to his promptings. The Holy Spirit lives in us and we can, you know, I'd say you've all felt it where this little nagging thing goes on in your heart. You know, ring this person or, you know, maybe you should go and talk to this person or whatever. I don't know. But there'll be a little voice in your heart that constantly nags you and you ignore it. One, because you're scared. Two, because you don't want to. For whatever reason, you need to listen to that Holy Spirit. Do you know why? Because it's scary. But when you follow it and you see the outcome, it's incredible. This Christian life is like, sometimes it's an adrenaline rush, really, because what God asks us to do, it might be a simple thing, but then you see what unfolds, you see what's on the other side. Let's just walk in the Spirit, listen to His Spirit, and let's be obedient to His promptings. It's incredible. There is power in our lives. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Now more than ever before, the church needs to be strong and resilient. We need to go forward despite what goes on in this world. The church is important. You know, like I was just talking before about, you know, this, the schools have taken God out. They've taken everything they can out. There is a hopelessness in this world. But you know what? We're not scared about that. We have the Holy Spirit working in us. We carry a hope in our community, in our schools, in our universities, in our workplace, in our streets. We carry the Spirit of God in us. And you know, one little thing, the prompting of God in our hearts, moving forward, we can change lives. Just be, you know, who we are, understanding who we are, listening to His Spirit. The church needs to be strong. We are not to be, despite what the news is saying, despite what the government is saying, we need to follow Jesus and not be fearful. Oh no, what's going to happen to the church? No. God is greater than that. God is stronger than that, and He wants us to be steady and strong because He has a world of people that He loves, people that are walking around in the dark that we can actually influence and change, and we can actually transform this city of Gladstone just by doing a few little things and knowing that He lives in us. I am not walking on my own. We're traveling through this world, and we need to remember those past victories. We need to remember to be grateful. We need to remember eternity every day. We need to remember, okay, this isn't it. I'm heading somewhere. We need to remember who is God. We need to remember to be ourselves. We need to remember to laugh. And we need to remember He lives in us. We are not walking on our own. The Israelites had to take the journey through the wilderness so that they could become the people God wanted them to be. We learn so much, you know, in those wilderness experiences. I find that you can find the greatest gems in those wilderness experiences when we cry out to God. I'll tell you what, the things I've learned in those wilderness experiences, when the cyclone comes, when the storms come, that I've had to dig deep and I have found things that have held me for all of my days. Things that I would never learn if everything was rosy and sunshine and, you know, deck chairs on the beach. No, there are things that I have learned, gems that I have hung on to through these times. So the Israelites went from slavery to freedom. They went from being the forgotten people to the chosen people. They were not alone on their journey. So whatever is happening in your life right now, whether it's personal issues, whether it's family issues, whether it's work issues, whether it's just life, whether it's health, just remember, you're not alone on the journey. You might be fearful. You know what? That's normal. But the fact is, people have always been scared, but right on the other side is where the miracle is. It's okay to fear, but don't ever give in to that fear. We do not walk this journey alone. Remember, it's a process. God is leading us every step of the way. Can I have the band to come forward, please? Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "But blessed is the man who trusts me, the woman who sticks with God. They're like trees replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season." Let's stand together this morning. I'm going to open the altar. If you want prayer this morning, if you know, particularly if you've got health issues, if you need healing, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can heal you. I know He can. If you need prayer, you need someone to just come alongside you and pray for you for whatever reason, for your situation. But also, you know, if you're not a believer and you've come here this morning and you don't know God, but you would love to know, you would love to have someone that walks with you on the journey of life, that you would love to have hope for a future. You would love to know what forgiveness is. I'm just, if we can close our eyes. If you're here this morning, I would love you to just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you, and then maybe someone can come alongside and help you on the journey. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, just quickly raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you this morning. Okay, we're going to sing a song, and if you need prayer, I'm just going to open the altar. Just come on out. And we're going to have, if you've got a prayer team, we'll all pray together. But yeah, just come on out as we sing this morning.